being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing. And yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community. There are so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid, but also there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast where we're talking about joy and queer things. welcome to the podcast with me, and I'm here with my friend Abish.
I'm so excited.
You're so ready. I feel like you're like a contestant on like The Price Is
Right. I know. I feel like I won something.
You did.
I did win something, actually.
You won my respect. I don't know if you won. That sounds weird. Abish, what's your last name?
Fatani.
I was just thinking, I was like, I feel so close to you.
I have definitely driven down to Idaho with a friend, and I was like, on the way there, I was like, what's your last name?
I just need to know.
Yeah,
before. When they actually sketch you, you're like, I might need to report you.
No, that's good. What's your last name?
How did we meet? Do you remember this?
Yes, I do, because I work at the rec, and you're a fitness instructor. And after every class, you would just be like, I need to sit down. Immediately, I need a break. And which is fair. I went to one of your classes, killed me.
You don't expose me like this.
No, but like, it's good.
Yeah.
And because like, we would talk for way too long while I was supposed to be Provo Rec. Please don't fire me. But like, we would talk for way too long. And like, I needed to do my job. You needed to go lift. But we were both like, let's just keep talking, actually.
And I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I am messy. I don't know. I'm not like messy, but I'm very open,
yeah,
right?
I feel, and like, so, open's a better word.
And so I would like corner you and be like, you couldn't escape. And I'd be like, boys. And I had no idea if you identified as queer or not. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you're going to hear about the boys in my life.
Yeah. No, and I love that. Like, I am a debrief girly. Like, I want to hear what's going on in your life. I want to hear about the dates you went on. I want to see the outfits that you went on in. Like, I want to know everything.
I think we're both like this, too. Because when you start telling me a story, I'm like, uh-uh. No, go back. Go back.
Yep.
What did he smell like?
Yeah.
Where was her hair slightly positioned?
Exactly.
I'm like, I want every detail.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then I found out you were queer. How do you identify?
Yeah. So I identify as bisexual. Love it all.
If it's wrong, why do we keep winning? Every time someone tells me they're like, in some sense, queer.
Yeah.
And for those that are listening, queer is an umbrella term used to describe someone in the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
LGBTQ is a safer, if you're ever unsure when to use it, just say stick to LGBTQ+. Queer is kind of being reclaimed.
Yeah.
Used to have more of like a negative strain, but it's like being reclaimed by the community.
Yeah.
Okay, but whenever I find out someone's queer, I'm like, yes, we got another one on the team. Like, I just love it.
Yeah.
I love it. What is it like being bisexual for you in Provo?
Yeah. Definitely a funny experience. I feel like just being queer in general is in Provo is a funny experience. But, like, there's also, like, at the intersection of, like, race and gender, that, like, definitely plays into my experiences with queerness. Just because, like, it's going to influence anything I experience, you know?
It's not like we can separate
exactly.
Those, right?
It was like, I am all these things, and I cannot, like, pull apart one.
Like, this happened to me because of this.
Yeah. But I would say it's fun, mostly because I have definitely found my people. I love my friends so much. Like, anytime I talk about them, I'm like, I am actually in love with all of them. I know that they're gonna watch this, so hi guys. But like, yeah, like I just like love them so much, and it's definitely helped me found a community that like, even when I'm experiencing something they don't experience, there is that like we already have a bridge and a trust and an understanding that like one was inherent in our identities, but also that we have been able to build on.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're also involved in like some like different clubs at BYU,
right?
Oh
yeah. So it's technically not BYU authorized, but it's Cougar Pride Center. Love them.
What is that?
So it's a student ran LGBTQ resource center for like queer students at BYU.
I love it.
The like mission statement is basically that we hope one day BYU will have like an official queer resource center for their students. But like until that day comes, if it comes, we will be there.
Because you'll be there.
Yeah, there's always going to be queer students at BYU, and that's just a fact. Yeah,
I love it. Yeah. I know, it's like, I always tell people, I'm like, we're not going anywhere, and not even because we're stubborn. It's just, we keep being made.
Yeah, it was like, sure. You just keep being made, yeah.
I know. You cut off one head and two more grow back. Yep. No. Let's talk about, like, I want to do a little getting to know you game.
Yes.
And I have this list of 50 questions, and I'm like, they're going to be so fun and light. And then as I was looking through, I was like, some of them are kind of deep.
Okay.
So,
let's get into it.
And I guess I'll tell people this, but I do this on, like, dates sometimes because I'll be like, let's get to know each other. And now it's been a while since I've done it. And now that I'm looking through it, I'm like, it feels kind of intense for, like, a first date. It's not going to stop me, though.
Yeah. Why should...
Yeah. Okay, so what I want you to do, we're going to go, we have 50 questions. We're going to stick to 1 to 25 now. You're going to give me a number between 1 and 25.
Okay.
And then you're just going to answer that question.
Okay. 14.
Oh, that was really fast. How did you choose 14 so fast?
You said 1 through 25, and I was like, I have to find one right now.
Right now? Okay. Go. Bam.
Yeah.
Do you easily accept compliments, or do you hate compliments?
Ooh. I think externally, I'm just like, oh, thank you. But, like, I feel so awkward about it sometimes, because I'm like, do I say something back? What if I... but then I don't want to be ingenuine and just say something back because they said something nice to me. But then I also feel, like, mean because I'm like, they said something nice to me. Maybe I should say something back.
Just, like, take it and walk away.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, thank you. That was very kind. And then I run away.
Literally sprint?
Yeah, I said, oh, I gotta go. Yeah.
Gotta go. Thank you. And they're like, what did I say? I love the idea of taking in the compliment and, like, wanting to say something nice to them but can't think of something. You're like, oh, my gosh, thank you. It's been nice talking.
Because I don't want to be like, there's nothing I, like, off the top of my head that is, like, sticking out. But then I don't want to stand there for too long and be like, I'm trying to figure out what I like about you. Like, that just feels like, so I'm just like, thank you. That was kind. I appreciate you noticing that about me.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. So you don't accept compliments well, not because you're like, oh, no, no, what does that mean about me? But because of, like, the technicality of what do you do with a compliment?
Yeah. I'm like, do I... just, okay, thank you. Now I have this thing. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We're learning so much about you. Okay. My turn now.
Yes.
1 through 25. I'm going to say 3.
3. Where's one place you feel the most like yourself?
The Provo Rec Center.
I was going to say, I was like, it better be at the Provo Rec Center behind a programs desk with me. No, I'm kidding.
And I love because, like, so many senior citizens are, like, cycling through, and we're just, like, chatting about dates with boys.
Yeah.
Were you there that one time that older guy was like, he was like, I don't know, and I was like, oh, I'm gay. And he was like,
I was there.
What?
I was there.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And he was like, oh, well,
Yeah,
we still love you. And I was like, thanks, man.
Yeah, he was like, it was like out of left field for him, but he was like very much ally still.
Yeah, I was like, okay,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Senior citizens leading the way. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that one coming.
I did not. But I was happy about it.
But we like being surprised.
Yeah.
We do. That was good. 1 through 50 at 34. I'm gonna say 41.
41. Ooh, would you tell a stranger they have toilet paper hanging from their shoe or their dress tucked into their underwear or anything else that's embarrassing to be seen in public?
Would I tell a stranger?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did that surprise you about me?
No, it doesn't. Like, I feel like it would surprise me if you were like, I wouldn't say anything.
Because I feel like I would be like, especially with strangers, I feel like I would like, I don't know, I would see myself in their position and immediately be like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, totally that guy, though.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I've always been that friend too. I'm like, hey, you have something in your teeth, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just did that.
Yeah, because it's like a casual thing. Like, you're embarrassed for maybe like a second, but also feel like because it's coming from me and my friends know me, they're not going to be like, Abish said that with like malice. I'm like, no, they're not going to think that.
With malice?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you have something in your teeth.
And you should be embarrassed about it. I'm not going to.
Thanks for the compliment, but you have something in your teeth. Bye. That's really cool. I love. I'm like a really, really big on like being a truth teller.
Yeah.
And that sounds weird and like it's like some weird like fortune
you're a
thing. But I just mean like I want my friends to know that I will never lie to them.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion may not be the right one, but I'm never gonna lie to you. If you ask for something, I'm gonna give you the truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes the tricky part is being tactful.
Yeah. No. I agree. Like I want to tell you the truth, but it's also like, I don't know if you're ready to hear my opinion on things. So I'm going to like, just like go at it slowly. And
look
like,
before me, we're going to give you a little like, if you want this, that's good. I feel like that's the vibes of consent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to know you a little bit better. I feel like these questions do be kind of jumping in, don't they?
Yeah. It's okay though. It's okay.
You're like, yeah. Now I want to introduce or talk about the concept of this podcast.
Yeah.
Where it's like we have all these experiences, and I feel like we hear so many sad experiences, and that is okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If anything, I feel like some solidarity when I hear those. I'm like, yeah, like I went through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about the other end of what it means to be queer.
Yeah.
And before we jump into that, I want to ask you, when you hear the term, and there's no definition, I didn't get this from Webster's or anything.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the term queer joy, what do you think about?
I think the word radical.
Oh.
I think the word resistance. I think queer joy in itself is something that works against everything that has been working against you.
Oh.
And I feel like it's not something that like you're doing with malice or like you're not doing it to purposefully make the other side angry.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's just something that happens naturally and something that is so beautiful, and the existence of it itself is like kind of defies everything that has been coming before it, or something. It defies like if you were to look on paper all of the like anti-queer like from the cultural sentiments to the mm-hmm. laws, like it would seem like queer joy was supposed to be beaten out of you, but yet it exists, and yet it is beautiful, and yet it is like very prominent. And yeah,
I love that, like that radical, that resilient.
Yeah, it's resilient.
I've never thought of queer joy as, and maybe from like the perspective of what it means to people, it's like an oxymoron or paradox where it's like these don't exist together.
Yeah.
And by virtue of putting them together, it's radical.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Dang. Yeah.
At least I'm like way better definitions than I could come up with. Holy cow. Wait, so it's almost, it's like radical sense of joy, this like subversive type of joy.
Yeah.
Have you, yeah, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just green, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, you're dropping a lot of wisdom. I want to catch every droplet. Do you feel like you've experienced that?
Oh, for sure.
And can you think of a time when you have?
Yeah, I think, so I have two really good friends. Mm-hmm. Both of them, besties, love them.
Wait, what are they? Can I ask their names? Does that ruin the story? Don't tell me their names.
No, it's okay. Yeah. I think I'm going to omit their names.
Nice, okay.
But
we can give them generic names. It could be like Sandy and Paul.
Okay, they're both gay. We'll go with Paul and Peter.
Okay, cool.
Those are apostles. Should I not do that? Should I?
Did you make that religious on purpose?
No.
They're common names too.
Okay.
We'll go with Paul and Peter.
Go Paul and Peter. So my friends.
And just make sure people know we're not talking about disciples of the scriptures.
Yeah.
In the scriptures.
They were just like names that came up to my brain.
I hope someone joins in now and they're like, think we are talking about scriptures. But keep going.
Okay, so my two friends, Paul and Peter, They started dating and like became official during like a really difficult time in my life.
Oh.
And they were both like individually just there for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then because we were all three good friends, I see them so often, and just like their day-to-day mundane things are so beautiful to me.
Oh, like what?
Like when they hold hands at Smith's.
Oh.
Or like when we're driving up to the canyon and I get to take like cute candid photos of them being a couple. And like, I don't know, to me that is like, it's not my, I don't know, but like me personally, I find joy in other people's joy for sure. So like just seeing them be in this place where they're not supposed to be together and they're not supposed to find love within each other, and then see them do it anyways, not because they like, it's a big like F you to the other side, or like, you know, not for like any malice reason, but only because they just find it within each other. They find that love and that joy. And I'm just like,
I love this. So like almost like experiencing or witnessing some of these like displays of radical resilience. And it's not like, it's like a radical action. It's not like you're like running around
with
a
rainbow flag. Yeah.
Like a kilt and rainbows.
Exactly.
They're just like existing as humans, and by virtue of experiencing that, it's like this radical resilience.
Yeah.
Like you can't break this. So
exactly. Like there is something that is so beautiful to me about just the human experience.
Mm.
And then also for the history that like predates you to kind of work against you.
Mm.
So like, and then you still find that is very like,
like your history being like your experiences or like American history or
just
something?
Like history of the world in general. Mm. I guess also American history, because there's a lot of that like plays into homophobia.
Right.
But like just for that in general, to like not, I mean, of course it affects them, but to not damper their joy is so beautiful to me. And it, that's like, when I think of them, I think of queer joy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in the concept of, I forgot where I was going with that thought.
I
love it.
It's all good. I saw
this. It sounded like it was going to be, you're like, this is going to be deep. And I was like, I got nothing. Oh, it was something along the lines. Oh, I'm a really big believer in like, some of the biggest impact you can have mm-hmm. doesn't come from reinventing the wheel, creating a new algorithm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, you're doing some brain busting thing that no one else has done. Yeah. I truly feel like some of the biggest impact you can have is by just authentically being yourself.
Yeah.
And like that will create ripples in a way that like, and that will empower you in a way that like other things just can't.
Yeah.
And so when I think of these examples of Peter and Paul, these beloved apostles of ours, no, but your friends Peter and Paul, like just being quietly and honestly themselves in Smith's or the canyon, it's like, what a beautiful effect that's come in. Like, that's not requiring crazy amounts of effort besides bravery or like, you know, this resilience.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that so much. I guess I'm trying to think of a moment when I experienced queer joy. I'm thinking of, along those lines, I think of a moment where I hate the concept that fear controls me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever like feeling nervous, I'm like, no, I will buck up. Like, I'm the guy that's like, if I feel like when I was younger and I'd be like, I'm scared of the dark, and I'd be like, and I will go sit in it. And I didn't really want to get there, but I was like, I will conquer these fears. And I remember I was at an ice cream shop with this guy I was dating, mm-hmm. and I could feel people like looking at us.
Ooh, yeah.
And it was like, you know what I mean? Those sometimes you like feel eyes and you're like, oh.
No, I know what you mean.
And I got really uncomfortable with him and I was like, no. And I turned around and I was like, give me your hand. And he was like, what? And it was just like the most subtle, tiniest move, but it felt so dramatic. And I remember feeling very, I just felt empowered in the sense of like I felt resilient. Like I was like, no, I am capable.
Yeah.
I can handle what comes towards me, even if it's the tiniest action. I don't know.
And like that in itself like is a part of joy. Like that like empowerment and like ability to be yourself boldly.
Yeah.
That inspires joy for sure. Oh. Like there's
the ability to be yourself boldly. Where like what does that feel like to you? Like how do you do that in your life?
Yeah. I think
it sounds like a process though, TBH.
No, it really is. Like I don't know, like part of it is for me just casually like dropping like, oh yeah, I spoke at this thing at BYU because I'm queer. And like just like being able to go about it casually has empowered me for sure. Like, I don't know, like there's a sense of when I'm able to be casual about it, then it feels like so ingrained in me.
Yeah.
Which, and it feels like something I don't have to hide from or run from when I'm able to speak about it openly. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's bold.
That is bold.
I don't have to, I don't know, I don't have to hide it. And that's...
What a great burden to take off your plate, too.
Oh, for sure.
Because, like living with the idea that you're, like, constantly... I remember being, like, I would constantly, like, the way I would look at my nails, I micromanaged every single movement I did to make sure it did not come off as gay.
Yeah.
I would be like, nails. I would never look at them like this because they would know.
Yeah.
I Mambo number five, which I unironically like.
Yeah.
I was afraid people would know I was gay if they knew I liked Mambo number five in like high school.
Yeah.
And it's a song about him womenizing people, but I was like, it's pop.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh gosh.
It's not like manly enough.
And, the way I would walk, the way I would talk, like so much of this energy went into being something out of fear.
Yeah.
That like when I finally started embracing more of myself, and that's more than just coming out.
Yeah.
But when I finally started embracing some of myself, it was just like taking off like these like ankle weights I didn't even realize were weighing me down.
No, but especially if you're like micromanaging every move that you make, that doesn't like just affect like, oh, I like how you go about your queerness, but it also goes into how you navigate yourself. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of hinders your growth, not just like as a gay man, but like as a person.
As a person. Facts. Sorry. I don't think there's a fly. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm just like imagining.
Let's
things.
Gaslight her. I just realized.
That was an example of gaslighting. Yeah.
I love the idea of you like, and me being like, you okay? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Right? I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Sorry, back to what we were talking
you're
about.
You're good.
We were talking about... I don't even know if you finished your thought.
No, because I definitely interrupted myself to tell you that there's a fly. So, like, in case you guys couldn't see it, there was a fly. It was about, like, growing... Like, when you stop your growth as a queer person, you also kind of, like, stop your growth as a person in general. Because, like... Growing as a person is a process. Like, that's why we have so many coming of age films. That's why we have so many, like, but, like, when you, like, are micromanaging yourself to, like, not come off as queer, then it gets into, like, how you micromanage yourself as a person. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
I was doing stuff that, like, because I was like, this will be an indicator that I am gay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, like, me preventing myself from living, like, not listening to my number five. No one's gonna hear me listening to that and be like, are you gay? They're gonna be like, you clearly have bad taste.
Now every time I hear Mumbo number five, I'm gonna be like, what a gay. I'm gonna hear it playing and be like,
The gay. I'm gonna use that. It's gonna be a gay anthem.
Yep.
It's just him naming a bunch of women.
Yeah.
I'll work it somehow. You said something that triggered something that I wanted to ask more about, and it was, I can't even remember. Remind me of that thought one more time.
Hindering your growth as a queer person.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, I feel like I'm like, me and the senior citizens, that's why we're like, we get along.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, I'm all over the place. Okay, fly.
Yeah, now the fly's about you. What fly?
Did I get it?
I don't think so.
It felt fast. Did you jump?
Yeah. No, I was like, I did not expect that. If I was a fly, I would have been dead for sure. Yeah.
I feel so good about it. I think of health. Mm. Different areas of health.
Yeah.
Social, emotional, physical, mental, spiritual. All these areas are like, I think of like Olympic rings, and they're like interlocked.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when one goes up, it like helps the others. Like when your physical health gets better, it like helps your mental health and like helps these other areas.
Yeah.
When your emotional health gets better, it just like helps the others, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
When one goes down, it like pulls the others down.
Yeah.
And I think about like this area of health, be it social or emotional. That area that gets like really attacked when we're like fighting our sexuality or ourselves or identity, it really does pull the others down.
Yeah.
Like it really does.
Yeah.
And I think just lifting that up can do, wonders can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when I came out, it was like a glow up. And not just like, oh, I got better looking, but it was like, I connected better with my friends.
Yeah.
I felt like I was more grounded in who I was.
Yeah.
I felt more confident. All this weird stuff happened and I was like,
the weird stuff being like all the good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff. It was weird because I was like, good
it's
things
different.
In my life?
Yeah.
What? Like,
yeah.
What's happening?
No, but like, because like when you're able to be more of yourself, you're able to show people like who you really are.
Yeah.
And like, and then from then on, they can decide if they want to be around that. And I don't know. And then the people who decide they want to be around you are like genuinely there for you.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have is this a weird question? It sounds like you have a lot of queer friends.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you feel like is it like why? I know that's like a dumb question, but just like I don't know if many people do have a ton of queer friends.
I don't know like why. Like even my freshman
like,
year.
Why
are your friends gay? But like like it just I don't know, we all gravitated towards each other and then we all like came out in our own time. But I think it is also the sense of like we were all pretty, like, liberal, left-leaning.
Yeah.
So, like, that in itself was, like, a kind of, like, a weeded out certain, like, you know.
Gotcha. Like, as far as, like, getting along, you were, like, all kind of similar
pages. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, I really don't know, like, how it happened. I, like, have no clue. And it's, like, one of those things that I feel, I was talking, because, like, I was hanging out with my friends this morning, and I was talking about, like, I don't know how I got placed in the position that I did, and I don't know how I met the people that I did, but I feel so lucky.
Oh.
Like, I feel so lucky about it, because it's, like, most of my friends are queer, and so, like, they understand where I'm coming at when I, like, talk about certain things. Most of my friends are people of color, too, which is, in Provo, I was like, I don't know how I did that. don't know how that happened. I really don't.
I'm trying to be like, you, my boy. Like, for real.
But, like, yeah, like, it just, like, happened, and I want to attribute it to, like, oh, maybe I like did something different that like made them like flock to me.
Mm.
I made all the gay people come to me. But like
you have like a kind of Messiah vibe right now.
I think it's the
it's
sleeves
like the flowing.
For sure. Yeah, it's giving.
I mean, like
yeah.
Not to be too forward, but I joined your cult. I would. Get the coffee like
I, that was a compliment that when I received it, I was just like, is this a compliment? I was like thinking. I was just like, oh yeah, I guess to preface, I have been told that I would be a good cult leader or that people would join my cult if I had one. Which was a compliment that I like when I was like, is that a compliment? Or like I was
it's
just
totally a compliment. I mean, I get what you're saying, because you're like, yes, it's a compliment. Am I a sociopath?
I know. I was like, would you guys just follow me to the ends of the earth? Please don't.
I can't. The pressure already is too much.
No, I was like, maybe that's why I wouldn't be a good cult leader, because I wouldn't have people follow me to the ends of the earth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're at BYU right now?
Yes,
I am. What are you studying?
I'm studying urban planning. I love it.
What is that?
So basically, it's like all the little details of a city, from like zoning to signage like just like random things that like makes a city a city. Like you get really into the daily lives of people, which I think is why I love it so much, because I just love people and I want people to have a great life and live in a great city.
I do remember seeing you chat with more people at the rec center, and I was like, she would have more friends than me here. I was like, this is good. I was like, I loved it. I was like, she's so cool. How do you like, because I know there's like a lot of, BYU doesn't have the best reputation as far as interacting with the queer community.
Yeah.
Like, but I feel like you have such positive experiences. Like, how is this?
I don't know.
How are you at BYU having fun?
Yeah. For sure, I attribute that a lot to my friends. Like, love
like having that base.
Yeah, just like having like that foundation and that like support system is so vital for like, because anytime, you know, because things do happen in classes where I'm like, you guys will never believe what just happened in my class, like immediately to the group chat. So like that for sure has helped a lot. But I think it's also, I like to think it's very apparent like where I stand on things. Whether that's like a tiny little rainbow pin or like a comment I said in class. And so like, I don't know. I've also, sorry for coughing.
in this day and age, it's not a cough.
Oh yeah. But like, I have always been a believer that like people are never too far gone. I mean, there are some people like, I'm like, that's not for me to be like, I'm gonna bring you back. But like, I'm always of the belief that like, I think there is an inherent good in you, and I think there's an inherent humanity in you that will just naturally want to connect with people. And while I am not gonna put myself in a position where I am being attacked for my identity, I think that there are people who can put themselves in that position and not be directly attacked.
Interesting.
And not,
I feel like I put myself in a lot of those positions. But I can be kind of feisty though, so I don't know, man. But I hear what you're saying. It's more of like you're talking about like allies though.
Yeah.
Like people who can like take the brunt and not, this is like not a personal attack on you, but you could stand for something in a way. So you handle that.
Yeah.
I like that concept.
And like, I don't know, maybe that's why like navigating allyship is important to me, because it's like, well, there are times where there's, like, an overstep. There are many times where, like, if I was in the conversation that that ally is in, I would go home and cry. Because while I feel like I am very strong and I have a good support system, when you're attacked.
Yeah.
And it feels like crap. You know?
Especially like, when it's like you're something so personal is at stake.
Exactly.
It's like we're not talking about something removed. We're talking about something, who I am.
Exactly. Or, yeah. And so like, I definitely value that a lot. But like, I don't know. I also think that there is something about me that is kind of like, not to toot my own horn, but like is kind
toot
of
that
like.
Toot that horn, girl. Here, I'm going to say this right now. You toot that horn. If someone is uncomfortable with the horn toot you're doing, that's a personal problem.
Thank you.
We embrace our greatness.
I like
we don't
that
apologize
sentiment.
For greatness. All right, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, I feel like I am a charismatic person.
You are.
And like, like when I talk to people, like I want to get to know them. Like I want to hear, like, oh, why do you think that? Actually, I'm like curious. And I think there's something about that invites people to like let me know them. And I value that. Like when people put like a sense of trust in me, I'm like, that is important to me, and I'm glad that like you did that. So like I feel like it creates positive experiences.
You've hit on some really cool things that I'm excited about, and I do want to talk about you being charismatic, because I like to consider myself queer medic too.
Yeah, real is real. You're a medic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Getting recognized as gay. But yeah. One thing is, you're like a very different style than me. Mm. Like, I feel like I am. When I show up, I'm kind of like my big Leo energy. I'm like, you're gonna feel this heat from me, this warmth. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
If you don't like the you only people be, I don't like are people that don't like me. So I'm like, make your decision now because you're in. Oh, you're out. Mm-hmm. You're out. You know.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have a way more like inviting. Yeah. And like people like come to you.
Yeah.
Where I'm like getting in people's faces and stuff. So I think that's like, I think you have like a really good welcoming energy where I can be pretty abrasive sometimes. So I love that.
Yeah. No, I feel like, and I don't even know what it is like about me that makes people feel so welcome and inviting, but like I value that and I recognize that. And like, it's something that I don't take lightly when people like come to me and tell me their things. There are times where I'm like, I could have been more welcoming or more inviting, or I could have had better follow up, but like, you know, I'm only 21.
we got time.
I have time. I don't know why. Like, sometimes I get really in my head. I'm like, I have to figure out life. Like, I have to figure out where I stand. I have to figure out how things are. But I'm like, dude, you're 21. Cut yourself a little bit of slack.
I, like, want that to be the mantra people take away is, like, dude, you're blank. Just cut yourself some slack.
Yeah.
Like, take some pressure off. Like, you got time. Dude, you're 41. I don't care. Like, you have a full life. Like, you got room to grow. It's okay.
Yeah.
Take a breather. You hit on three things in talking about your experiences at BYU that I absolutely adore and love. Your experiences on how you can be, like, so positive, or how you could experience this, like, joy at BYU. You talked about your support system.
Yeah.
And I love that because, you know, we know through, like, research done with, like, the Trevor Project that with one supportive adult for a queer child, the chances of suicide goes down 40%.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy.
It's, yeah.
So, like, that kind of support, what were you going to say?
No, I just, like, I don't know. That is another topic I feel very passionate on is queer children. Mm. Because it's like, they deserve the world. Like, they deserve everything good. And, like, they're only a child. Oh my gosh, I'm going to cry.
Let it out, girl.
Like, they're literally a child and they figured it out so much faster and with so much more bravery and intensity than I could even muster.
Mm.
And they're out here already saying it. And, like, yeah, they're a kid, but, like, as a kid, you knew, like, fundamental things about you, you know? And so it's, like, it blows my mind that they're just, like, disregarded or, like, put off because it's, like, oh, you're only 12. How can you know that about yourself? I'm, like, dude.
This is just, like, I know. I think it's so funny because I think with parents, it's, like, you want to protect your child so much. And you have this mantle to, like, provide and to lead them up. And, like, at the same time, you never want them to be hurt.
Yeah.
And so it's like navigating that balance with the resources you have. And I, you know, who has perfect parents?
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, hopefully knowing that information can help them, can help parents be a little bit more supportive. I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, if you have an experience and you're like, do I support my child or not? And it's like, you will never regret supporting your child.
Yeah.
And I don't think that means like doing surgery immediately or like, you know, they're 12 and getting them on a date with someone of the same gender or whatever. I'm like, I just feel like supporting your child, you're not going to regret that. Worst case scenario, if it's a phase, it'll end. And best case scenario is like your kid knows that even if it's a phase that their parents have their back.
Yeah. No, and like, I remember you talking about this to like a mom at the rec and like, I'm not a parent.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh man, I really do be having conversations.
Yeah, no, I do. It's okay. I love them. But like, I remember her like being so just like genuine about it and being like very open, and like the fact that you can spark those conversations in people and like spark that. Of course, like she was probably already like that, but like the fact that like you can have those conversations with parents just gives me so much hope because I'm like, that is where like my biggest like I guess fears come from is like the fact that the treatment of queer children, like just in general, it like. But yeah, the fact that like I was able to see that beautiful moment of like a mom being like, oh yeah, no questions asked, support my child. I was just like,
you know what helps?
Yeah.
It's I think it's one of the biggest things I think we gotta work on a lot. But personally for me, it's like no shame. It's like no shame. This lady, I was doing a training and this lady, she's talking to me and she's like, what do I do? My son and his friends have started using the N-word. And I know. And I was like, oh, we getting in. I was like, tell me more. First of all, I love the juice. So I'm like, let's go. But she's like, what do I do? How do I help them understand that this is a thing?
Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted her to do was to be in this moment of sincerity, to be made to feel bad. Because like that, all that's going to do is if me condemning her or judging her is going to push her away. It's going to make that go from a learning opportunity to a very negative experience. And I was like, so I wanted to bring her in. I was like, listen, I had friends that did that. I think it's a vulnerability, right? Where it's like, I've had friends that did that. And I thought it was okay growing up and had a change of heart. I wanted her to humanize her experience. Yeah. And so if people, and sometimes people will do that stuff and not be sincere. They'll just be like, there'll be like a wall where it's like, will I do this? And it's like, same. It's like, I'm not trying to push you away with shame.
Yeah.
Because that is going to divide us. I don't know. I try to do that. I'm not the best at it.
Better. Like that is such, and like, obviously I'm not black. So like, it's a different experience, but like.
Someone watching this is going to be surprised. They're going to be like, what?
Yeah. No, they're going to be like, then what are you?
We don't apologize for greatness.
Thanks. But like, so like, obviously like different experiences, but for you to navigate it in that way is something I've like always loved about you.
Oh.
And the fact that like people are able to come to you with like these hard things, because like, like I'm sure for her to build up that courage was a lot, but like it was coming from a place of like, I don't want my kid to be a butt.
Such a positive reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and I'm sure her 12-year-old is not a monstrous person, and you can jump to whatever conclusions, and at the end of the day, you just jump into conclusions. You don't know these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like for you to give that grace is, like, something to me that, like, has always... Well, how do I put that? For you to give that grace to people is something about you that has always stood out to me.
Oh.
I'm like...
Listen, it took a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm
sure. To internal work. It's hard to... You can't... What does RuPaul say? How are you going to love someone else if you can't love yourself? It's like, you got to do the work. Because what happens is, especially in like the realm of like talking about race or sexuality, it's so easy to be triggered.
Yeah.
And when you're triggered, that's generally a sign that's like, oh, I got to, there's something here that's tender and I need to work on it, work through it. So it takes a lot of self-work to get to a place where, man, I'm not perfect at it. So still process.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you're only, I don't know how old you are.
I'm only human. 21. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
I am not 21. Reader, I am not 21. Listener, I guess. If anyone's reading this, great. You talked about having that support system and like how that brings like support. You talked about the symbols of like little moments of being yourself, which I love, like the rainbow pin.
Yeah.
Like moments for you to like feel and embrace who you are. And one thing I loved is you talked about allyship.
Oh, yeah.
Like if it's like, you standing up for people or people standing up for you who may not have as much like personal stake in the game.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. I just wanted to highlight that like the support system has contributed to queer joy in a place where people are like, you shouldn't be feeling this. Talk about radical resilience. You talked about these symbols of like you being yourself and seeing that with other people. And then you talked about allyship. And I think that's like so huge. Like those are ways that we can allow others to feel this joy, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like for the most part, no matter who you are, you can, you're an ally to some community, whether that be like me, queer women of color, but like I am like able-bodied, if that's the right term.
Yeah.
And so like, there's always ways, that's also something in urban planning where I'm like, we can do better on this.
We need way more like wheelchair accessible places. I've been thinking about that too.
I'm
I went to the hospital and I was like, there's a step. Like, what do you
mean? And we're at a hospital, dude.
I know, like, there's gonna be wheelchairs.
Yeah. Little tangent. Anyways.
Yeah, there you go.
But like, there's always, like, for the most part, for most people, there's always gonna be a community that you should be or like can advocate for.
Yeah.
Because like, no human is gonna fill all the like oppression quotas. Like, no one's gonna check all the boxes. You know what I mean? So like, there's always
oppression quota.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the correct term, but I'm just making it up on the fly.
I'm gonna try not to get too distracted on that.
It's okay. You haven't filled your oppression quota for Monday. Actually, I'm gonna have to take that. No,
the only
time
I was excited about that was when I was applying for college, and I was like, get me a scholarship, check this box, check that box. I wish I would have been out when I had to bang essays.
That is very fair. I did apply for the Out Foundation scholarship recently. So.
Let's go!
Hey guys. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, no, little tangent again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, where was I going with that? Oh yeah,
so sorry.
No, you're good. But like, yeah, no human is gonna like feel all the bearings of every person ever, or like every like community ever.
Yeah.
So there's always ways that you, like, even like will have to be like an advocate for. Mm-hmm. You know.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's good too, because I think sometimes it does feel like we focus a lot on like the victimness of ourselves, and it's almost like a little bit like, who's more victim? Is it me? Is it them? And at the end of the day, it's like, there are many identities we're not going to belong to, and playing that game is not going to help anyone.
It's really not.
So hopefully it can empower us to be like, recognize that, you know.
Yeah. Like there are certain experiences I will never have because like I just am not that.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that goes like both ways to like the positive and the negative, you know?
Yeah, girl, go off. Okay, last question.
Yes.
And I'm trying not to take too much of your time up, but I would love to take it all. Is there anything before we wrap up that you're just like something that you believe strongly or that you feel like we've talked about that you would just like to say or like hit on the head? We're going to be talking to youths and families and all sorts of people.
I don't know. I think when you're, I don't know, because I've been like ever since you were like, hey, do you want to do this? I've been thinking about more like queer joy and like those moments of joy. And I think what's important is to like allow yourself that. Mm-hmm. Like like people are always going to be there, and the oppression that you face is always going to be there regardless. And I'm not saying that like you have to create a moment of joy right now. But
I
like,
can. I'll be like, yeah, I'll do something different. That was a bad idea.
No, do that.
I tried it. Yeah. Didn't work. Felt really sad.
No, but like, I don't know. There's always, that sounds so silly, but like, you're always going to have haters.
Yeah, no, for real.
So like, it's like creating a space for yourself, creating time for yourself to take those moments of like peace and relaxation and just joy and goodness is so vital for your just survival as someone who is like marginalized, whatever, in whichever way that is. So like, I don't know, I want people to experience joy and give themselves space and time to do that. And I don't know, I think you could also benefit from it, because then you're like able to live longer, and I also want that.
What a like empowering way to look at our experiences, because I feel like what you're saying to me is not like necessarily like joy happens and you just have to grab it and hold on to it, and it's fleeting and you're just too bad if you don't feel it. It's like there are things we can do to put ourselves in positions to experience joy, and it's not to say that life isn't hard and that's gonna suck. And listen, we've both been through some stuff. Right? And we don't even need to like, people go through stuff, right? But it's to say that there are things we can do to like hold that joy. It's like creating that space, creating that time, giving it that focus and that attention.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I love like the empowering aspect of that. And I really believe it. You know? And sometimes I wonder that like, and maybe this is kind of weird, but I feel like fortunate being a queer person of color, because a lot of my life growing up, I had people say and do things and treat me a certain way. They didn't know I was queer. I mean, I think, but because of the color of my skin. And it was like this chance I had to like grow in this aspect where it's like, people are not gonna just, what I feel like I'm entitled to, like human rights and being treated a certain way, people are gonna give it to me.
Exactly.
So I have to like craft that for myself.
Yeah.
People are gonna doubt me for no reason. They're gonna feel a certain way about me for no reason. So I have to also develop this kind of like belief in myself, or like a thicker skin. And when I came out as gay, it like, I feel like those lessons transferred really well. Where I was like, oh, people were like, how dare you? And I was like, girl, I'm black. This ain't gonna work on me. Like, I've heard this before. And some of my, like, some of my Caucasian counterparts, I just feel like some of my white friends, queer friends, have got hit really hard in a way that I was like, oh, I feel like I was like, this was me growing up.
And, like, that is such, like, a positive outlook on being, like, a queer person of color. Because it's, like, it's so easy, again, to, like, look at those boxes and just be like, damn, the world's against me.
Oh, it all sucks. You know?
But, like, it's such, it is... I do consider being a person of color like a blessing. Like, I do love it.
Do you like resonate
it.
With that concept?
Yeah, no, heavily, because like, I don't know, it's like, what you're saying to me is nothing new. Like, what, like, oh, cool. I've been told that, just like different words. Same malice, same viciousness, but different wording.
Different words.
And what are you going to do? Like, I can't be dragged down that easily, actually. Like, unfortunately for you, you're going to have to try harder and work harder.
I'm going to give you two more chances to really come for me. And then you better run. Because I'm going to come for you.
Yeah.
It's like the part of the movie where like the hero gets punched and he's like... He like smiles.
You should get into acting. Like,
huh?
I said, you should get into acting.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Now watch out. I'm going to be the new Superman. He's just got to be cool, the 5'6 Superman. We roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Short kings are in these days.
They really are.
I do love that concept. And I thank you for sharing that. I love that like empowering aspect of like, we hold our own joy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen to us. We like grab it. We bring it in. We hold it.
Like, I was telling a friend, like, I like the aspect of being human where it's like, you can be desperate for things.
Mm-hmm.
You can sweat and fight and bleed for things. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to be, like, have that desperate want for things because that's only human. And it's okay if that desperate want is for, like, a moment of joy. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to fight for that. And, like, I don't know. I'm a big believer that being nonchalant is, like, stupid.
Ah, like be passionate about it.
Exactly.
Because everyone's like, oh, I don't want to look like I'm too weird. It's like, no, be weird.
Yeah. No, it's like, one thing about me, I'm going to try hard. And it's going to look like it. And that's okay. Like, literally, if you see me at, sometimes I do embarrass myself at work. Like, it is a moment of like, that was embarrassing, but also I did it and I attempted. So.
And I put 150% into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So. We were talking about this the other day, how we're just all in.
Yeah, we're all in, people. I'm like, I don't do anything 65%. I'm like, 150%.
Yeah.
Like I do, like I'll make sourdough bread and my neighbors over, and I'm like, I'm not doing like one loaf. I'm doing like 7 loaves, rotating system.
Yeah.
We got 45 toppings. Like, welcome to me.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love it. What was the story you were saying about work the other day? Something happened?
Oh, it's just like you're gonna try. It wasn't like necessarily like a specific example.
Yeah.
Oh, but like there have been moments where I'm like, oh, that was completely wrong, and I was completely in the wrong when I did that. But, like, I tried and I attempted, and there was a moment of growth and a moment of, like, okay, now I know better than to do that.
That's, like, it's so cliche, but I'm always, like, the negative experiences are never a waste because we learn and grow.
Yeah.
I've been on some, like, horrendous dates with men, and that's no surprise to anyone. Men are kind of, like, maybe crazy. But they're horrendous dates, and I leave being, like, yes, it was an interesting, you know, hour, but, like, I'm not going to make this mistake again, or I've, like, learned...
Yeah.
So I really did that. I'm like, what a value.
Yeah.
Put them in my toolkit. All right. Well, I think we could go on. We could keep going on.
We really could.
But I think we'll save it for the rec center.
Yeah.
We should do a podcast called The Rec Center.
Yeah. No, it's just us talking the whole way.
Okay. I think we're done. Y'all, thanks for joining us. Abish, thanks for coming. Oh, where can people find out more about you? Is there, like, do you have any, like, public socials or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So my Instagram is public. I am a... When I post, it's what is the non-swear word for this? Kicks and giggles? Yeah. But I have a lot of fun.
Okay, if you want kicks and giggles, find Abish on social media. We'll have to, like, include a link here. I love that introduction of it.
I'm like, because it's like, I don't post, like, for the specific reason of, like, I'm going to change the world, but it's mostly like, guys, look what I did this weekend.
Yo, have you seen my post? They're like, dumb. Your posts are funny, though.
I'm glad you think so.
I do think they're funny. Anyways, y'all, thanks for joining us, Abish. Y'all have a good one. We're out of here. Bam. I don't know how to end this thing.